Now, the idea of the barbarian invasions conjures up another image, too. Somehow we have a picture, we may very well have a picture, of a coordinated, disciplined attack on the Roman world by people with clearly formulated aims and intentions. Well, I mean, that gives us a picture, doesn't it? I mean, the barbarian invasions, it's almost like two football teams lined up right before the kickoff. The referee's going to blow the whistle, and they're going to go at it. Well, that, again, bears no relationship to what happened. Romans and barbarians encountered each other 1,000 times in 1,000 places for 1,000 reasons. If we were really going to try to explain this phenomenon, this relationship between Romans and barbarians, we would have to detail every one of those encounters and then look for pattern and look for meaning. You see? Well, I think you'll be relieved to know that in 30 minutes I won't try to explain thousands of encounters. We'll just perhaps pick one or two representative examples. But suffice it to say, we're going to look at some examples of a much larger phenomenon. And it is not a single phenomenon easily explained by a single kind of one-size-fits-all sort of cookie-cutter explanation. Now, the Romans wrote about tribes. You know, the names Visigoths, Ostrogoths, Saxons, Burgundians, and so on, whom they confronted. For a very long time, moderns were sort of duped into following them. In fact, when the Romans looked out beyond their frontiers, they had an interest in making some order out of all the chaos they saw. And they therefore named people, grouped people under names, assigned named people to certain territories in a way that, for them, for the Romans, brought order to the world they saw beyond their frontiers. What did the people beyond the frontiers think? We are clueless. We have no idea what they thought. Now, just as I said a moment ago, that there were no biological barbarians, there also really weren't biological Visigoths, Ostrogoths, Saxons, etc. More about that as we go along here. But suffice it to say that our picture of these peoples outside the Roman world is one given us by the Romans. So it's really a picture that we have to deconstruct. We have to tease it. We've got to pull at the ragged edges and watch it unravel. And then put something in its place. It's not enough simply to dismantle the old picture. What we can say preliminarily, provisionally, is this. The people who entered the late Roman world were polyethnic confederations. Now, that's an appalling term, I know, but the point is that there were Visigoths, there were Ostrogoths, but the people who, for example, entered the Roman world as Visigoths were a confederation of peoples. Large numbers of people who had signed up under a leader, who spoke more or less common languages, who followed more or less common laws, who may have worn common clothing, who may have fought in similar ways. But essentially, these were groups of people who, along the frontiers of the Roman Empire, formed, unformed, and reformed again and again and again in different circumstances. If we could go back and do all the DNA, we couldn't find, or we'd have a hard time finding, a Visigoth, for example, and differentiating him or her from somebody else. Now, I've alluded a couple of times to the Romans making sense of the world beyond their frontiers. Let's push that point just a step or two further. We can only assign a coherent history to the barbarian peoples after they entered the Roman world, after they entered Roman history, after the Romans began writing about them. Before they crossed the Roman frontier, obviously they had a past. And if we knew about it, we could assign them a history. But we don't know. Now, that has not prevented people from imaginatively reconstructing histories of people sort of migrating all over the map, you know. If you think of the maps in school textbooks and other important sources of misinformation, you'll perhaps remember all of those lines and arrows and dotted lines of the barbarian invasions. You can just see the barbarians. You're saying, oh, boy, we have to hurry. You know, we're not far enough along yet. By next week, we've got to be down to so-and-so place. Is that how we're to imagine this period? The fact is, quite simply, that we know what happened once the barbarians and the Romans came into contact with one another. We must infer ever so carefully what might have brought them into contact with one another. Suffice it to say, I hope, that it was not some overall barbarian will to invade the Roman Empire.